You're listening to the Nitty Gritty Podcast with Jen Gall and Shona Hutchings, where they discuss the nitty gritty of creative entrepreneurship. We've made it to double digits. It's episode 10 of the Nitty Gritty Podcast. We're so excited to talk about this topic, which is influencer marketing.
Oh, yeah. This is something that I deal with, I don't want to say daily, but very, very regularly and very, very often with a lot of my social media management clients, but also with individuals who were training on social media and branding, because oftentimes they want to grow. And influencer marketing is a great way to do that, whether they are the influencer or they're the creative business looking for an influencer. So who the heck is an influencer? What the heck is influencer marketing?
Yeah, you tell me, because you're
an expert here. Basically, influencer marketing basically gives the onus on a person who is trying to influence their audience on a brand or an item. And they're giving an honest, authentic feedback on what it is. So let's say, for example, I was trying out a brand of coffee and I wanted to give my honest opinion as to how I liked it or didn't like it, then I'm essentially an influencer based. I mean, anyone can be an influencer, but the difference is that a lot of social media influencers get paid, which causes controversy. Controversy.
Yeah.
With a lot of times with their audience, because how do we know for sure whether they're being authentic or being genuine about a product? Because they're getting money for it. So that's caused a lot of conversation, I want to say, over the last, I don't know, six months to a year, because we've seen influencer marketing grow so much. And I want to say influencer marketing is specific to social media and blogging, probably. At least that's what we'll be talking a lot about. Do you have anything more to expand on that, on like what an influencer is?
I would say influencers, like, yeah, they basically use their voice and popularity to influence decisions of their audience.
Exactly.
That's basically what they're being paid to do. It's like advertising, but it almost seems not like advertising because you think it's your friend on Instagram.
Yeah, and everyone, I think we all have a couple people, for sure, we all have people on, influencers. We all have people on social media, specifically Instagram, who we, like, look up to, and
and it's not like a TV advertisement in a way where it's one-sided, like, they're just presenting you with an idea, because social media has become, like, almost, like, a back-and-forth type platform where you can comment on them and you feel like you're a part of it and that kind of thing. I think that has a lot of like pull on people because they feel like they can then in turn give feedback back to the person who's influencing them.
Yeah,
it's basically, so I think it's a little different than just like a general advertisement, either print, TV, whatever, because it's not one-sided.
It's like it's a conversation. Like you're basically, like your community is a part of what you're doing as well. But I truly do think that like a really, really good influencer is someone who uses a product, a service, whatever it is, and doesn't get paid for it, and finds something that like they can relate to and something that like is on par with their own values and their own ethics, and then they then get paid. So it's like they talk about it and they review it and they experience it without getting paid, and that's when they talk about it, and then they sign on as like as an influencer or as like a brand ambassador for that company after they've experienced it without having that money or monetary gain behind it.
Do you think that there's like the potential to just lose in that way and give away free marketing to companies? Like what if you buy a product and you review it and then you give it a really good review and then that company ends up monetizing from that, but then like doesn't sign you on as an influencer? Do you think that ever happens?
Oh, 110%.
Yeah, so there's, like, a potential for it to be more authentic, but then, like, you just don't get paid.
Yeah, like, I've done that before where, or I've even seen it before where, like, there are so many products that I love and I have talked about, whether, like, whether it's just with your friends or whether it is like across a social media platform. Mm-hmm. And then you can go to, whether it's their website, or you can just email them and say, oh my gosh, I love your product. Do you have like an affiliate program? Mm-hmm. Or do you have like an influencer program? And if they say like, yes, awesome. If they say no, then they don't.
Yeah.
But I really do think that if the influencers that I can really relate to, I feel like they have always tried the product first.
Right. Yeah.
Before
yeah.
they mm-hmm. start.
Do they have to buy it though? Like what if they get it for free, but don't get paid for it? Like what if it's just given to them and they're like, can you try this out and give it an honest review? Whether that review be good or bad, they haven't paid for the item. I'm just playing devil's advocate because there's so many different things that can go on.
Bring it on. I like it. I don't know. I feel like that's still valid.
Yeah.
I feel like, other than they're just getting free stuff, I mean, what's the benefit of them? Like, hey, yeah, you get a free item, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, like, are you really going to continue using it? And I think, especially as an influencer who is doing this as a business, and this is like how you make your income every single month, I think you also have to consider like what their values are too. Like if I'm following someone who talks about everything and they all contradict themselves, then I'm not really going to follow them or believe what they're saying. I follow influencers who have the same values and morals as I do. Mm-hmm. And then there's a couple other really good ones that where I've seen before where they actually like they're so transparent about everything where they're like, here are my empty bottles.
I was just gonna say that there was like a guy who was recently showing like his Dermalogica like empty bottle of face lotion that he was using, being like, look, I actually use this
and I actually love it, and here's like the four other bottles I've used from previous uses of the same product or of similar products. Or here's like the four that I've tested and here's why I chose.
It's kind of funny that they almost have to do that now though, because if people know that you're like sponsored by a company or if you're an influencer, people might not necessarily think that you're being truthful.
Yeah.
So it's almost like,
you almost like have they to have to be now. Like,
by the way, I do actually use it. Yeah.
I appreciate that though. In a like,
well, I wouldn't appreciate someone being like, I love these. I don't know why I went to this, but like teeth whitening strips. That they didn't actually use because they had beautiful white teeth to begin with, let's say. Mm-hmm. And then you go and use them and they like make your teeth really sensitive or something like that. Like I would not appreciate having like believing in an influencer and then going and buying that product, whatever it be. And then like having terrible. A horrible experience with it. Yeah. And then being like, what the heck? Like you just told me it was so awesome.
But I feel like
I believed you.
I feel like that's kind of where like, if you want to be successful at it, you have to be transparent.
Yeah, you have to actually try it.
Yeah. And I think that's where, like, if it's something where, like, you are following someone, do your due diligence. It's no different than if you, like, we're talking about on episode 8. There's nothing different than, like, taking a look at an influencer's page versus at taking a look at their reviews on a food space you're going to go to, or, like, a restaurant you're going to go take a look at. Like, look at all of their posts. Like, do your homework. They could have pretty photos and they could have what looks like an amazing, like, life and experience. But, like, do your homework. See if things are contradictory or see if anything feels out of the norm. And make sure they are very clear and they constantly state their values and that they engage with their audience. Because that's going to be, like, the telltale sign if they're, like, worth actually believing. Because we all know Instagram has a way of making things look much prettier than they are.
Oh, heck yeah. You can buy thousands and thousands of followers, become an influencer, and then have no engagement. And people just believe that you're popular and therefore you should have a say in something. But really, you don't engage with any of those people because they're not real. They can't write you back.
Do your homework, friends. That's what we're saying.
Okay, so what are the benefits to influencer marketing for creative businesses, would you say?
Definitely being able to reach a new audience. And I think for as a creative business, exact same thing we were just talking about, like you have to do your own homework. Like if you're a creative business and you want to partner with a brand or an influencer, like do your homework. Know what their analytics say. Mm-hmm. Know what their audience is like. Take a look at their values. Take a look and make sure that they align with who you are as a business. make sure you do all that homework before you 100% sign on to something, because that could be extremely detrimental to your own business if you partner with the wrong people. And I've unfortunately experienced that with a social media client that we manage, where they just partnered, where it seemed like a great partnership and it seemed like it was going to go in a great direction, and then the post came out and we were like, what the fuck? And we wanted to message this person and be like, this is inappropriate, we need to take this off, the message of the business and the message of what you said the post was going to be like doesn't align. And so that was a huge learning opportunity for us, where we were like, we need to start vetting even more than we do now. So just vetting your, who it is that you're going to be working with, vetting the influencer you're going to be working with, because there are great benefits, reaching a new audience. So making sure that their audience is the same audience you want to reach to, but it's a whole new audience that maybe isn't following you yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great opportunity to connect with people that you maybe didn't get to, but also connect with the influencer. Like, it's kind of a cool relationship that you can build with someone who then can speak positively about your brand, not just on social media, but generally.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And also it's inexpensive to work with nano influencers. So if you're hiring someone who's not necessarily super popular on the internet, but still has your target market or is local, it's relatively inexpensive to hire, let's say, a nano influencer, mm-hmm. which we'll explain kind of what that is as we talk about influencer marketing. Yeah. And then the benefits to the influencer.
Yeah. Well, first of all, if you're an influencer and this is your job, you can probably A, get free stuff and or get paid.
Yeah.
But it also helps with the growth of their, whether you are growing online or you're growing in a monetary way, it's just a great way to grow and a great way community. I think what's really important is that you're building a partnership, you're building collaborations. So as much as it is about, paying the bills and making money, you also have to think of it as you're building a partnership with someone. It's the same as if you take this relationship outside of social media. When you go to networking events, when you go to make partnerships or collaborations, it's the same concept. It's just now you're moving it into a social space, social online space.
Mm-hmm.
Something I think that's very, very important to note is that I think both the business and the influencer should have one of these, is having a media kit.
Mm-hmm.
So outlining who your audience is, outlining what your stats are, outlining what you have to offer. If you're the influencer, outlining what your costs are, let's say for a social media post, for an Instagram post, for a blog post, for an Instagram live, for Instagram, maybe they have a highlight that they have to add.
How much you want to be paid.
How much
to
you want to be paid to do it.
Yeah.
But as a creative business, you should also have an expectation for how much you want to pay,
mm-hmm.
An influencer, and what that worth is like. So knowing what the return on investment is huge. So understanding, tracking it. So if you're partnering with someone, you should be tracking what's happening while that post is going out, and what the benefits of that are, what the benefits of that is, because then that can also help you with consistency and knowing who to partner with next time or who not to partner with next time.
Also, Jen is too humble to say this, so I'm going to plug it for her. If you go to the somethingsimple.co on her website and you go to the shop page, I believe you can find her resource on how to create a media kit, and it's beautifully laid out. So if you guys are looking for a way to create a media kit, now that we've mentioned it, and you're not sure where to start, she's laid it out, not just with the general gibberish that they put in text boxes when you buy some. Yeah. She's actually in each section laid out what you guys should be putting in those sections. So if that's something that you think you need or you'd be interested in, you should definitely go check it out on her page. And it's quite inexpensive, but it's a really good tool. So go check that out.
Thanks, girl. We also will create them for you too.
Yeah.
If you want one and you don't know how to use the programs to create one, or you don't know the right wording on how to do that, we also do that as well using that same template. So thanks for that plug.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
I knew you weren't going to say it.
Nope.
Okay.
Time and place.
Yeah. Influencer marketing is about partnerships and collaborations. Actually, before I talk about this, I wanted to ask you what you think is the best process to pitch yourself as an influencer. Because as a photographer, I have people pitch me in collaborations for influencers where they want like free photos. And I just don't really have the capacity to do that anymore. Yeah. And sometimes when I'm being pitched for it, it's not like the way that I'm being asked is not what I want to do. Right. Or like the way that I'm being pitched to is not something that I feel like I can relate to. So what do you think is a good way as an influencer to like pitch yourself to a company to be like, hey, it's worth working with me?
So there's a few things to take into consideration. One, be professional, people. You're talking to a business and you're asking them to pay you money or to give you a free item. That's money to them. Mm-hmm. So be professional. The second thing is it's not about you. Mm-hmm. It's about the business that you're connecting with. You need to be relatable in the sense that you need to say why you think you're the best partner for them. It's kind of like when you go into an interview and all you talk about is, I want to learn this and I want to do this and I. But we have to remember, again, it's a partnership. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I love this product and I love using it and here's how I use it. But this is why it's beneficial if you and I work together and I can then support you X, Y, Z. I think that that is often missed, not on purpose. I just think we need to kind of shift our focus in that way because it really is a partnership. It's a collaboration. And we need to, if you're the influencer who's approaching a business, whether it's on Instagram, I don't see a problem with that. A lot of businesses love being connected with through Instagram, but it needs to be about both of you, if not more about the business that you're connecting with, because you're basically saying like, I want you to pay me.
Yeah.
And you're probably not the first one to reach out to them. So you need to make it unique.
Yeah. And I don't think that a lot, like there are more larger corporations now that are seeking influencers, but there's not a lot of smaller businesses that put out like advertisements for influencers. However, they still have them, but I think they're getting them because the influencer is getting in touch with that business saying like, or the business gets in touch with the influencer knowing that there is a market there and that like, as we talked, it can like grow your reach to people. However, I think, you really have to be able to persuade the business that there's a return on investment for them.
Yeah. And don't just reach out to any business. Mm-hmm. That makes no sense to me. And I'll use the job analogy.
Analogy.
I really can't speak today. Yeah. I haven't had enough coffee today. It's now like 8 o'clock and I'm clearly, cannot have more coffee. But I'll use like, I'll use the interview analogy. Simply like if you walk into an interview and you don't know anything about the business you're going into the interview with, or you don't know like their values or their mission or how they help or how they run what they do, well, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah.
Right? Like if you don't know about the business, if you don't align, if you and the business don't align, then why are you connecting with them? It makes no sense. And I get it. Like as an influencer, like you need to make money. I totally get it. But there's no way you're going to make money if what you're talking about doesn't align with who you are. Mm-hmm. And the business isn't going to come back. You're not going to grow, again, that partnership. And you're not going to grow more business if you don't align with the right partners.
Mm-hmm. Quality over quantity.
Quality over quantity, people.
Yeah. Okay. So influencer marketing is about partnerships and collaborations. Basically, Instagram was having people write hashtag ad or like hashtag sponsored in their captions or in their hashtags.
You like have to do it.
Yeah. Like it's, you have to.
Yeah. You have to, or they'll take it down.
Yeah. Like if they find out that it's a sponsored post and you don't put it in there, you can get reported. And they'll take it off. So the only thing with this is that people are recognizing this in hashtags and they're starting to like unfollow some of the places where they're seeing it too often.
Yeah.
I've noticed. Like I kind of get annoyed. I even kind of get annoyed when I'm like, oh, this is a really cute picture. And then I realize it's like specifically for an ad, which is funny because that's what sometimes people hire me for that because some businesses that hire influencers require the influencer to have a photographer right. take the photo.
Well, like that just kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But I totally know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about in regards to.
I think I only get annoyed when I see it on like every post. Like if every post you're putting out is an ad, then I no longer think you're authentic. Genuine. Yeah.
I also, what the funny thing too was with like the hashtag ad is that like if you look at, I was just talking to actually a local influencer and she was using the hashtag ad and she couldn't figure out why all of like the one post was doing so poorly mm-hmm. in consideration to the other ones that like other posts, like typical posts that she would, mm-hmm. she would put out there. And so I started actually looking at all of the ones that she used hashtag sponsored or hashtag ad and all of them got hit. And it's actually because like Instagram has flagged those mm-hmm. and they just don't get the reach that they would get if you didn't have it. So you could have like, you could, if you took that same photo and posted it without those hashtags, it would have done better, but you need to have them.
So well, you Instagram, kinda... yeah, Instagram's a business and they have to make money too. So the mm-hmm. way they do that is by like attacking businesses yeah. in that way and making you pay for sponsored posts. Yeah. So like paying them money to like promote your post on the platform.
But you're not allowed
but
to.
But you can't do that no. with an ad. So it's just, yeah, it's funny.
It's such a roundabout way of doing yeah. things. I actually saw, it was so cute. I saw this adorable photo of like a mom and a daughter and they had gone, it was someone I like regularly followed and they had gone shopping at H&M and the caption was like, oh my gosh, this is adorable. Like she went and she bought like these like first pieces of clothing and it was, she like loved H&M. They were talking about how H&M has that like recycle program mm-hmm. and I had never heard of it. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then it was basically just saying, go buy clothes at H&M.
Yeah.
And then hashtag ad. And I was like, oh, I feel really gross right now. I'm like, this is no longer a cute post.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, there's a proper way and an improper way to do it. I personally love a couple of the other ones I have seen, which I really appreciated, which is like, yes, I am getting paid for this post. Mm-hmm. Yes, I am paying for you to see this, for example, if it was like a Facebook ad or something. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate those because it's like, let's just get this out of the way. Like, mm-hmm. yes, this is an ad. I'm getting paid for this. But here's why I'm talking about it.
Right.
And so it's just like people recognize it now. Mm-hmm. We're inundated so often with like ads and like sponsored posts and sponsored material and marketing and ad, like we're just, it's everywhere. And so I think it's going to be forever a huge part of our online community. But I think there's definitely like a right and a wrong way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also think that people now are looking for more like authentic posts. So as I was saying, like if I'm seeing ad too much in your like mm-hmm. market or like in your social media, I'm going to unfollow you just because I get annoyed. And that's happening more and more, I find, especially now that like if you want to, as an influencer, view your analytics, you have to register as like a business on Instagram. So one, yeah. we already know businesses get less reach than personal accounts. But two, you're not going, like you're already not getting reach. And if you're constantly doing that and you're getting unfollowed, then you're not going to get the reach and you're constantly just kind of have less and less viewers. So what I'm looking for and what a lot of people looking for now, there's this whole like authentic train of people is like they want to see authentic reviews and authentic captions. And I want to know about your life with your new baby, or I'm just using this person we have written down.
I'm actually like on her feed right now. Are trying you? To figure out what the name of that thing was that I was talking about.
Yeah, but anyway, so we're looking for authentic, genuine reviews of things or authentic experiences that you've had or those kind of things. And what we were talking, like what Jenny was talking about before, where people will go out and buy a product, mm-hmm. use it, give an authentic review, and then if they like it, they'll be like sponsored by the company, or they'll get kind of an payment by the company, but it's, they don't get the item for free and they don't
no.
and they're not being paid to post the item. So I think in that way too, we kind of just, we feel more connected to it knowing that they're not getting paid to do it.
Yeah, because it's a genuine review of what the product is, because basically it's like if you get paid to do a review, you damn well better like that product, because you can't, at that point, you can't give.
Yeah, like, if you give a bad review, the company's not going to pay you.
Yeah, they're not going to pay you. So if you're getting paid for it, it's because you like it.
Yeah.
And you plan on continuously using it, and you align with what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why you gotta vet. Gotta know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Also, people, like, now people don't want to just get a review of a product. They don't want to be like, I use this. Here's what I think. They want to, like, see you using it. Yeah. And they want to know, like, how you apply it or mm-hmm. how you use it in your kitchen or, like, what it is. And they want to, like, see stories of you actually using it in person. And,
yeah.
Like, it's no longer just reviews. It's, like, the whole experience with that item. It's interesting.
I kind of wish Jillian Harris did that more.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I don't have a kid, but...
Yeah, I find that a lot of her posts are... But she does... No, I would say, like, if you watch her stories, a lot of the, like, at least food products that she's using and reviewing, she is putting in there. And, like, she does go to the hotel in Hawaii that she talks about all the time and whatnot. So I think... I don't think she's necessarily someone who just gets paid and doesn't actually wear it. The only thing that I don't... love sometimes is some of the things that, and I think she's getting better at it because she's realizing this, but some of the things that she does do ads for are against what she's talking about mm-hmm. in terms of environmentalism or
like Joe Fresh.
Yeah, like fast fashion or even just packaging for things and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like, so I think she's getting better at that, and it's like a slow process, I know, for some people.
For sure.
Just because
for a lot of people.
It's hard to get past it. And if you're getting paid by them, you're not going to think about necessarily the detrimental environmental effects that it might have. But, yeah.
And they probably have contracts, too. You have to remember that.
Oh, 100%. They're going to have a contract.
Yeah. So if they have contracts, there's usually timelines. So it's like, even if, you know, her views are changing, she might be signed on for a year.
Yeah.
And at that point...
That's like people who sign their life away to Netflix. Have you ever heard about the Netflix contracts?
No.
Oh, yeah. Apparently you can't do anything once you work for Netflix.
Oh, my God. That's depressing.
Yeah. But we love Netflix.
Netflix, people.
Yeah, I love binge watching all of my shows.
Yeah, I can't. I just like TV.
Okay, yeah. But, okay, so that begs the question, what is authentic then?
Okay.
Because we use Jenna Kutcher's name and we use Jillian Harris's name. But when you look at their feed, would mm-hmm. you say this feed is authentic?
Not 100%, no.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they are very, like, it's hard to be authentic when everything is staged.
Yeah.
The flip side to that is, like, they're authentic in their Instagram stories. But I've also seen Instagram feeds that do extremely well, and they're not, like, crazy staged or crazy... like over like aesthetically placed in certain mm-hmm. ways and color. I mean, those do well, but I also think that just taking a good, like, naturally lit photo and having like an authentic conversation with someone and getting your photo taken is the mm-hmm. same thing. But I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I was, because I was reading an article, right, on influencer marketing and authenticity, and they used, like, Jenna Kutcher's name. So then immediately what I did was go to her Instagram page. So then I was like, okay, all of the things in her stories, super authentic. She's not, like, she's not, like, getting dolled up just to be in her stories. Like, maybe she'll use a filter or whatever, but we all use them. So her story is super authentic, and she's talking about real topics that people want to hear about. Her captions, also very authentic. So what she's actually writing mm-hmm. underneath the pictures, very authentic. The picture itself and the actual overview aesthetic of the page, I would say, is still curated.
Oh, for sure. Do you think that's just, like, that just lends to the platform, though?
Yes, I 100% think it just lends to the platform. Yeah. So I think there's, like, something to say. And a lot of people are talking about how, like, oh, you're not what you look like online. Keep that in mind. Don't be depressed. Don't look up to people and say, why can't my life be like that? Because, like, yes, we're choosing what we put out there. Mm-hmm. If you saw my life every single day or my house, it would not be clean, white, nothing on my counters, etc.
The best example of this. Okay, so I just got a new office, which is super, super exciting, but it literally looks like a white box right now because there's so much more that there's nothing on the walls. I basically have a desk and two chairs in it and a table.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to, like, paint it. It's been such a process. But I was downstairs with other tenants who are in the same building, and she goes, oh my gosh, she's like, I saw a picture of your office on your Instagram and I loved it, and I was like, oh my god, it's so beautiful. And then I peeked into your room and I was like, oh. And I was like, well, okay, so you, that's fine, like, you don't have to love my office, but it was here. She saw like the stage of here of like this room.
Oh, the picture of our room. Yeah.
And so she was like, and it's staged.
Yeah,
clearly.
Yeah.
And it was just such a funny like comment. I was like, oh my god, we literally just had like an in-person Instagram moment.
She's like, I caught you.
Yeah. I told her, I'm like, oh no, like, that's a totally staged office. Like, that is not what my office looks like.
My office actually does kind of look like that though, guys.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have the desk set up anymore. I do want to put something on this wall. I just haven't figured it out yet. Because we were thinking of doing vlogging, so I've kept it blank, but I think I'm going to do something with it soon. I want a couch. That's what I want right there. Anyways, you guys can't see this, so I'm sure it's really boring. So anyways, authentic, yes. So being authentic in your voice, it's also part of your branding, like just understanding what mm-hmm. your brand voice is and how you come across to your audience is really important. But you can have a totally authentic feed where you just take a picture and you post it. However, it's been proven that you have to put in at least some thought to your images yeah. so people will actually engage with it. Yeah.
Sad but true.
Yeah. Okay, what about micro-influencers?
Mm-hmm. I'm actually excited to talk about this topic because I feel like everyone's like, oh my gosh, like I have to have 100 bazillion followers to ever get any form of like monetary or partnerships with businesses. And micro-influencers still have a high number. Micro-influencers are like 100,000 or so followers.
Mm-hmm.
But they have now started talking about nano-influencers for 2019, which is super exciting for everybody. And those are basically influencers that have 1,000 or more
mm-hmm.
followers. And you see that a lot with like brand ambassadors a lot of the time too. But it's really great from like the business perspective, because then you're working with brands that have a smaller audience, which means it's probably more effective for your business to actually reach the audience that you want to reach. Like, let's say, for example, you do have 100,000 followers. How many of those followers are actually going to connect with your brand when that photo is probably only going to reach 6%
mm-hmm.
of your actual audience? Mm-hmm. Those numbers get very, very low very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a lot less expensive.
Yeah, because you can have far more nano influencers paying at a lower price point
mm-hmm.
than you can have one like micro influencer or just giant influencer who's yeah. going to ask you for like $10,000 to do a blog post.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was that one that we've worked with previously, and it was like $1,500 for a blog post.
Yeah.
And it was like, I mean, good for you. That's amazing. But like, holy.
Yeah.
That's high.
Yeah.
For me anyways.
For you. Yeah. I was going to say for a larger brand, that's probably not that much.
No, they're willing to pay it makes sense.
If they know that they're going to get a return and their audience is going to see it. But I just mean like, yeah, they can hire far more nano influencers mm-hmm. at a lower price point to equal the amount they would pay for an influencer, let's say, but they have more of a chance of actually reaching the people they want to reach that way.
Yeah. I think it's easier too. Like because usually if you're an influencer, you have like your stats, so you like screenshot them or share them in a media kit mm-hmm. or whatever it is, the form that you would share it with. It's easier to understand like how many of those people are actually going to get your actually your right target audience
mm-hmm.
and they're probably a higher percentage.
Right. Yes. And
yeah,
the other thing about hiring nano influencers is it's more likely that the audience that they have is more trusting of their opinion because they haven't had multiple posts that say ad in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also less people just to be like spammy.
Mm-hmm.
Like people that follow them.
Yeah.
Hmm. Nano influencers, I guess we like briefly chatted about like only 6% of your audience actually sees your post. And this is like generally speaking, like anytime you ever post something on Instagram, only 6% of your audience actually sees it, which is why when you're marketing something, you should be talking about the same topic more than once because you're probably hitting more than you're hitting different people every single time you talk about it. and with the algorithm, the Instagram algorithm, like you're saying that you're more likely to hit your actual target as a creative business, you're more likely to hit your actual target audience.
Mm-hmm. It's also important to start paying attention to stories, like you mentioned, rather than just your feed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you mentioned this in a story that you did recently, saying, like, hey.
My authentic, I'm drinking coffee with no makeup on.
Yeah. The, like, hey, by the way, stories are more important come 2019, so you should do both, but it's almost like a whole other platform that people should be scheduling and paying attention to.
It should literally be, like, you should have a whole separate marketing strategy just for your Instagram stories.
Yeah.
Though, I totally understand that there's something valuable in saying, like, hey, there's a new post that we just posted because it... You know, you probably get more impressions and engagement also on your stories than you do now on your feed, depending on what you're talking about. But...
Oh, I 100% get far more people watching my stories and engaging with my stories. Like triple, probably.
And I know for a fact because I literally will just scan through the stories before I look at the feed. For sure. So... I think
sometimes I just watch stories and I don't even look at the feed.
I'm the same. Yeah. It's like catching up on my news. It's kind of weird.
I need to get into video. That's what I need to do now. Okay. it's the new photography video.
Yeah, it's a thing. But yeah, so you should have a whole other Instagram strategy for your Instagram stories and your highlights.
Yeah, highlights also important. It's like a way to share information with people on your page that you want them to actually see.
Yeah, consistent information. Yeah. Like your services or your reviews or your Q&As.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think we have anything else for that. I think we're done.
Yeah, guys, influencer marketing. It's a thing.
That was a hard topic for me because I don't know as much about it as Jenny, but I think I asked some okay questions at least to get you talking about it.
That was good.
Okay, well, that's it for our double-digit episode, episode 10. So basically we just wanted to let you know again, if you want to, see the show notes. So you just make sure you go to our, websites, and if you go to the menu and go to podcasts, you'll see there's the show notes under there. So you can see our blog and all of the things that we talked about. And also we just want to again invite you. So if you're loving the podcast and you want to share your voice, maybe you have a business, Jenny and I are both in creative businesses. But if you have a creative business or another business that you think people would benefit hearing about, maybe you have some, resources that you want to let people know about, or if you have some, opinions you want to share, etc., we'd love to have you on. So you can give us an email, and we can try and schedule you in. As long as obviously you fit kind of with our podcast and our views. So just give us a little intro on who you are and let us know kind of what you want to talk about. And
let us know why you're valued on the podcast.
Pitch us as an influencer. I'm just kidding. But we obviously want to have people on that fit within the topics.
And if you're not interested in being on the podcast, we would love to hear about any topics that you're interested in hearing more about. And we can either find someone if we don't know the topic, or we can just shoot the shit and
talk
about it. We would also really, really, really appreciate if you headed over to iTunes and left us a review. We love sharing this podcast with creatives and want to reach as many as possible. And the review on iTunes is the best way to do that. You can find that in our show notes on the web pages, or you can just search the Nitty Gritty Podcast on iTunes. So thanks for listening to our double digit.
I feel so happy that podcast. We got to 10. As soon as I wrote in 10, I was like, yes, we did it. It's like, you know how they say you have to do something for so many weeks and then it becomes habit?
Yeah.
It's like what we're at that stage now, so it's good.
Yeah, it's exciting.
We're not going away, people.
You're stuck with us. So.
Just kidding.
Actually, we really appreciate everyone who's been listening. It's been pretty exciting to see the feedback and how we're actually impacting and helping people. So thank you for helping us reach number 10, because we wouldn't, I don't know if we would keep doing this if we weren't getting this.
If we knew no one was listening. No, it would just be us wine, like talking to ourselves with no microphone.
Pretty much.
That's all right. Okay. Well, yeah, thanks for listening. So that's
thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. That's all for this week's podcast with Jen Gall and Shona Hutchings. Tune in next week for more Nitty Gritty.